Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on privacy when we come back. You know, in 1787, the writers of our Constitution put in this clause at Article 1, Section 10. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt." That clause follows the biblical injunction on just weights and balances that we see in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Private business is carried on in gold and silver coin, but public business is conducted in commercial paper. Commercial paper, things like stocks, bonds, Federal Reserve notes, credit cards, debt, and usury. Well, back in 1965, Congress said that there's no difference in the value of gold and silver coin versus clad coin or paper currency. And that's true when you're dealing with banks, government, and commercial industries. But out in the real world, out in the marketplace, there's a 7-to-1 difference in the purchasing power of gold over paper. And there's a 7-to-1 difference in the taxes due on that paper over gold. Now, God and our founding fathers didn't give us gold and silver coin in our Constitution for no good purpose. They knew that as a matter of law, gold and silver coin is absolutely necessary for us to deal in order for us to establish our property rights. Well, neither did our Congress and politicians take our gold and silver coin away from us, for no good reason either. They knew, and they knew full well back in 1933 when they did it, that in order to subjugate a free people, they must first take away the people's gold and silver coin in order to take away the people's property rights, to destroy those property rights. Now, if you and I intend to regain our rights, duties, and capacities, then we must first regain our property and property rights, because property is the legal foundation for all of our liberties. So let me teach you how to do just that. It's in our business school, which is now on compact disc for adult home education. Now, for more information about our private business school, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first. That package is free. Doesn't cost you anything. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative. It's entertaining. It's educational. It's free. You can call and order one right now. It's the place to start. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Our business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email, send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we've been talking about privacy, and last time we were talking about consumer contract clauses. These are what we know, or what we call the standard clauses in consumer contracts. When you do business in credit, you have to fill out credit applications and give the creditor certain pieces of information. This information is, in normal circumstances, private, like your name, address, and telephone number, and where do you work, and how much money do you make, and how many children do you have, and what's the value of your home, and how much money do you have in the bank. These financial statements, these financial instruments that you're filling out and giving to a total stranger, somebody you've never seen before. You don't know this guy. And then your private information, by your own hand, by your own mouth, is put down on paper and given to a total stranger who now has it in his file. Now, you think to yourself, well, that's my private information, but it's just between me and him, and nobody else knows about it. Well, that's what you thought. Because that private information is valuable, and it's sold. That's right. Your private information is sold, and it's worth money. And these mailing lists are put together for the express purpose of selling you product. And other people who want to sell you this product want to know what your credit worthiness is. They want to know how much money you have. They want to know where you live. For instance, if you live in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the John Deere Company does not want to send you an advertisement for a snowmobile. But if you live in Bismarck, North Dakota, the John Deere Company wants to send you an advertisement for a John Deere snowmobile. So that mailing list is important, it's valuable, and it contains personal private information about you, and it's bought, sold, and traded in the commercial world, like buying, selling, and trading of any other commercial product. And so it destroys your freedom. Anytime you're doing business in credit, the credit transaction that you're engaging in over here is like a sieve insofar as your personal private information is concerned. It's just full of holes. I mean, you might as well go to the Catholic priest and sit down and make a confession. And people who are Catholics don't have privacy because they confess everything to the priest. And somebody said to me one time, yeah, but it's private. See, you're on one side of the wall and the priest is on the other side. And I thought, well, isn't that just real special? The priest doesn't know who you are because this is a private confession. Have you ever picked up the telephone and somebody is talking to you on the other end and he didn't say, my name is Bob? And immediately when you heard his voice, you said, oh, hi, Bob. Because you could recognize his voice. Has it ever occurred to you Catholics out there that when you make your confession privately in the confessional, and the next time you talk to the priest face to face, that he can recognize your voice? I just thought I'd throw that out there for your consideration. Now, most people in America aren't concerned about their privacy, and they're taught to be public from the time they're 6 years old and institutionalized in the public education system. I'm not here on a crusade to get people to join the privacy bandwagon so that they can have some, a little, a lot, or much privacy. I really don't care about your privacy. And if you don't care about it, neither do I. But I care about my privacy, and I'm concerned about what do people know about me, and what is it that I want to keep personal and private. So, in order for me to maintain my privacy, I have to have cash transactions so that nobody knows how much money I make, how much money I spend, or what I spend it on, or who I spend it with, who I work for or don't work for. Those are some of the basic factors of privacy. Now, I mentioned to you there's 63 sources of information that people go to find out about you. When you know what those 63 sources of information are, then you can plug the holes in each and every one of them. If you do not know what they are, then you're not in any kind of a position to plug any holes. So I'm pointing out to you that one of those places where it's a great big sieve is a consumer contract. So there's a paper put out by the U.S. government that I've been reading from here. It says, do you speak credit? And there's 12 standard clauses in a consumer contract. And one of them here is called the cosigner guarantee clause. Now, in the Bible, there are 6 statutes that tell you never to go surety for somebody else. Never be a cosigner. Never sign on a note that says, if this guy doesn't pay, I will. Don't do that. And the cosigner has to give up his personal information also. So I'm not a cosigner, so I don't give up my personal information because, my daughter or my son wants to buy a car, and so I'm going to go down and sign for him. credit information is personal financial information, and it isn't just financial. They want all kinds of other things, all kinds of other information as well. And each and every person that you give this kind of information to depreciates your overall privacy. So here's something for you to keep in mind. Gold is the currency of kings. How much do you know about Queen Elizabeth? Do you know how much money she makes? Do you know how many castles she owns? Now, there's a lot that woman is a very public woman. She's out in the limelight. She's out waving, you know, to people in crowds, and she's traveling in motorcades. And you get right down to it, you don't know very much about that woman. She's a pretty private lady. And she does business in gold. And that's because kings do business in gold. Silver is the currency of gentlemen. And barter is the currency of peasants. Debt is the currency of slaves. When you do business in gold and silver coin, you do business in privacy. When you do business in barter, you do business in privacy. When you do business in debt, you do it publicly, and there's no privacy. Federal Reserve notes are debt notes. And credit cards are debt. Commercial contracts are debt. When you do business in debt, you do business like a slave. Slaves do not have privacy. So one of the first things you need to do if you want some privacy is to get out of the banks. For instance, I don't have a bank account. I'm not a savage. I do not drag my knuckles on the ground. But when I have money in the bank, then it's public. Everybody in the bank knows how much money I've got in the bank. I really don't want you to know how much money I've got in the bank, so I don't put it in there. There isn't any privacy there. Somebody says, well, I'll put my money in a Swiss account over in Switzerland. Well, if you want to give your money to somebody else to keep because you're incompetent, can't take care of your own property, I guess you need a guardian like that. But there isn't any privacy over there either because you have to fill out some information in order to get the number. The number is private. Other people do not know how much you got in the bank, but the bank does. So do you want the bank to know, or do you want the bank employees to know? And how much of that information is that bank sharing with somebody else? You don't know. So my old daddy told me one time, he said, son, when you know something and nobody else in the world knows it, that's a secret. And the minute you tell one other person, it's not a secret anymore. So if one other person knows, well, then it's not a secret. So if you want to have some privacy and you want to have some secrets, then you need to keep it to yourself. Now, in consideration, I'm reading the cosigner guarantee clause. Watch what happens here. In consideration of the making and acceptance of the within note by the debtor and creditor named therein, respectively, undersigned jointly and severally, unconditionally guarantees to the said creditor and to any assignee of the said creditor, the payment of all monies due or to become due under said note, in accordance with their terms thereof, and also the full performance of the covenants on this or their part therein contained, and undersigned does hereby expressly agree that anything in said note to the contrary notwithstanding, any lack or capacity or liability on the part of the debtor. The undersigned cosigner hereby consents to all extensions of time for the making of any and all payments by the debtor and further guarantees the payment of all said payments due by reason of said extensions. Notice of acceptance of this guarantee, notice of non-payment and non-performance, notice of amount of indebtedness outstanding at any time, protest, demand, and prosecution of collection, foreclosure, and possessory remedies are hereby expressly waived. Not only is it a bad deal, it's a bad legal obligation. But here's what those two paragraphs mean. In just plain language, it says, if I don't pay, you can collect from my dad without trying to collect from me first. You don't even have to warn my dad that I've fallen behind in my payments. That's what the bottom line is. Now, the Bible expressly warned you against becoming a cosigner. And a cosigner, then, is a guarantor of credit. You're going to guarantee somebody's credit. So, obviously, the guy that doesn't have any money is poor. And so the poor man comes to the rich man and says, here, guarantee so that I can consume. Why don't you wait if you're going to make all these payments like you say you are? Why don't you wait, make all those payments, save it up, and then go down and pay cash for it when you get the money? Yeah, but I won't be able to drive the car today. That's right. And if you wanted to drive the car today, you should have been thinking about that 2 years ago and saved the money for the last 2 years so you could buy the car. Now, people who cannot contain themselves, they just can't wait, are poor. And they're poor because they can't wait. I can wait. A man that has money doesn't need credit. A man that has money goes out and buys something, he pays for it, he owns it, he doesn't need credit, doesn't need a cosigner, and he doesn't need to give up any of his personal private information in the process. And people that don't guarantee the credit of others don't have to give up their privacy either. So, I'm private, and I want to keep it that way, and I don't want people to know some things. Some things I'm very public about. Well, my phone number. I give out my number every time I'm on the air. But I got another phone over here, and you don't have that number. And I'm not going to tell you. And there are other people who want to talk to me, and when they call me on my private number, they get right through to me. Sometimes people complain. They say, well, I want to get it right from the horse's mouth. Guy called my wife one time, and he wanted to talk to me, and my wife said, well, everybody wants to talk to George Gordon, so you have to get through the secretary first, and now you're talking to the secretary. And so he said, well, I don't want to talk to you. I want to get it right from the horse's mouth. And then my wife said, well, you're talking to the horse's ass, and that's as far up this horse as you're going to get. And, of course, he wasn't too happy with that response, and he never called back. So I guess he didn't want to talk to me half as bad as he thought he did. But, you know, that's the way life is. And you have to be able to get through the secretary. And the secretary is guarding the privacy of the boss. And that's the way that game is played. You can't just call George Bush today, you know. But George Bush has another telephone number, and there's other people that can call him. So he's pretty private. At least he's private from you and me, but he's pretty public with his friends and neighbors. I'm sure that his daughter can call him anytime, from any place, and get right through to Daddy. My daughter can. My daughter doesn't have any problem calling Daddy. You might, and I might have a problem calling George Bush, but that's what privacy is all about. So there are some areas of life where you want some privacy. Maybe you want a lot of privacy. Credit is not one of those places. Let me show you another little factor here. I bought something from somebody one time called LG Electronics. And in the package of this electronics, I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's this recording machine, the CD recorder. Anyway, this CD recorder says that they've got this LG Electronics, and it's called a product registration. It's not a warranty card. It's just product registration. There might be another card in there called a warranty card. I don't know. But here's the card. It's kind of a long thing. It's probably 14 inches long. It's not very wide. It's probably 5 or 6 inches wide. And it says, by completing and returning your product registration card, you will receive these important benefits. Now listen to these very important benefits that I'm going to receive if I fill out this card. It says, you will receive product protection. Product protection. Okay. How do they propose to protect my property? They say, we will keep the model number, serial number, and date of purchase of your LG product on file to help you refer to this information in the event of an insurance claim such as theft. Okay. Well, I don't have any insurance. And so I don't have any theft insurance, and so that isn't going to be of any value to me at all. If somebody comes in my house and steals this, it's gone, and I'll have to go buy another one if the police can't find it and recover it for some other reason. So benefit number one doesn't apply to me anyway. So let's take a look here. Benefit number two, it says product registration. Returning this card is your way to guarantee that you will be notified by LG of any issues that arise concerning this product. So if they find out at some time in the future that this product kills people and they want a product recall, they'll have my name and number right on file. Well, when was the last time somebody was killed by a recording device? As far as I know, it hadn't happened yet, and I'm not really sitting here in fear and trepidation that this recording device is going to kill me, so I don't really see any great benefit in that. Third thing, $100,000 giveaway sweepstakes. By filling out this product registration, I could win $100,000, and your name will automatically be entered for a chance to win $5,000, $25,000, or even $50,000. See the rules below. So it says $100,000 giveaway, and then when you read the finer print, it says $5,000, $25,000, or $50,000, so I ain't going to get $100,000. That's what we call bait and switch. They wanted me to read this. $100,000 will get me to read it. But I can win $5,000. That's the low-end price. I could win $25,000. That's the second price. Or I could win $50,000. All right. Now, there's a bunch of fine print, and I won't bore you with all the fine print here, but the fine print explains to you how impossible it is for you to win $5,000, $25,000, or $50,000. And that if you're an employee of LG products, or if you have any connection, or if you're a husband or a wife of an employee or something like that, you're not eligible. And then it's kind of like the lottery. Your chances of winning this is about 1 in 84 million. So if I want to gamble, I go down to the casino where the odds are a lot better. For instance, on the pass line on the crap table, the odds of me winning over there are about 49.63%. Every time I throw the dice, I have almost a 50-50 chance of winning on the pass line. To win this prize, I got about a 1 in 84 million chance. So, like I said, you know, if I want to gamble, I can gamble down at the casino and have a lot better odds. And I'm really not interested in gambling, and I'm really not interested in product registration or product protection. So, if I were, what would I have to give up in return? So, if you got a pen and paper, why don't you write some of these down? First of all, they want my name. And they want my address, they want my email, zip code, state, and apartment number. Then they want my date of birth, social security number, marital status, telephone number, date of purchase. And then they want to know what product did I purchase. Was it a refrigerator, a washer, dryer, air conditioner, microwave, dishwasher? They want the model number. They want the serial number. They want the name of the store that I purchased it at. And then they want me to check the two most important factors influencing your purchase. They want to know if it was the design, features, technology, reliability, durability, price, or something else. The information that they want here is probably the kind of information that a manufacturer would want from his customer. But is this the kind of information that I want to give to a total stranger? I don't know who in hell this LG Electronics is. I don't know if these people belong to the mafia, the Cosa Nostra, if they belong to the Russian government or the Chinese government. I don't know if they're good guys or bad guys. I don't know if they're Catholics, Protestants, or Jews. I haven't got a clue as to who in hell I'm giving all this information to. Now, I want to point out that my name, my social security number and my birth date are the three identifiers that they need to steal my identification. Why would I want to give the three identification theft indicia to total strangers, for crying out loud? Now, you know, people in America are concerned about identity theft. I'm not concerned about identity theft. Nobody has stolen my identity yet. Nobody is going to steal my identity in the future. And if they did steal it, what in the hell are they going to get? There's no social security number, there's no birth date, and there's lots of George Gordons in the country. I don't have any credit, so there isn't anything to steal. And I hide my money. You know, the two nickels that I rub together, I hide those so that nobody knows where they're at. But it gets better. I mean, I find it hard to believe. Now, they want to know 23 things. They've got 23 categories of information that they want. I'm just down here on number 10. And it gets better as we go down the list. So, the next thing, number 11 that they want to know, how did you first learn about the product? Did you see a TV advertisement, a radio advertisement, newspaper advertisement, direct mail, magazine, store display, mail order, store catalog, salesperson's recommendation, friend, relative, website? That's the kind of information that I want to know. You know, when somebody calls me here, I say, well, where did you hear our program? And they say, well, I heard it on WGBH. Oh, thank you very much. That tells me where my advertising dollars are going. That's important information for me. And maybe it's innocuous information from you, but once I get your name, address, telephone number, and they want to know other things. Marital status? Excuse me. Excuse me. What in the hell does my social security number or my marital status have to do with that product? They want this information so they can sell it to somebody else for their mailing list. You know, the junk mail that you receive in your post office box, that's valuable. That junk mail is very valuable to me. And that's because I have a wood stove and I need fire starter to start my stove. And so I save the junk mail that comes through the postal system. I put it in two or three boxes. I save it through the year. And then in the wintertime, I've got fire starter to start the fire. And so I'm not opposed to junk mail coming because I've got a use for it. Some people complain about it, though. Number 12, did you receive this product as a gift? What other brands did you seriously consider before purchasing this product? And then they've got about 15 other brands down there. And then number 14, not including yourself, what is the gender and age in years of children and other adults living in your household? God, can you believe that? Listen to this again. It says, now, not including yourself, what is the gender and the age in years? And so they've got male, female, and they got little boxes down here for you to fill in. Then they go on, they want to know some more. They say occupation. They want to know if I'm a professional, technical, upper management executive, middle management, sales or marketing, clerical, tradesman, machine operator. Then they want to know, are you or is your spouse a homemaker, retired, a student, self-employed, businessman? Then they want to know, which group describes your annual family income? And so, under 15,000, 15,000 to 19,999, 20,000 to 29,999, it goes clear up to 250,000 and over. And they want to know how much money I make. And then they go to number 18, the level of education. They want to know, well, did you go to high school? Did you complete college? Did you complete graduate school? And then they got number 19. They say, well, which credit cards do you use regularly? American Express, Diners Club, MasterCard, Visa, Discover, Department Store, Oil Company, or do not use credit cards? Wow. Then they want to know, for your primary residence, do you own or rent? What in the hell business is it of some outfit that sells me an electronic appliance, whether or not I own or rent my house? Do I really want to give this information to total strangers? Now, they send this out with their products, and people fill this out. And they can get a pretty good idea. Now, they're not going to get the information from me because I'm not going to fill it out. And that's why I've got it in this file folder so I can share it with you. I share it with my students. And I say, think about this for a minute. Would you tell a total stranger that you've never met in your life if he walked up to you in Denny's restaurant and said, let me ask you this question, sir. Which group describes your annual family income? And then I say, under 15,000, 15 to 19,000, and so on. If I walked up to you and said, how much money do you make every year? Would you tell me? A total stranger, just right out of the blue. If the answer is, well, no, I wouldn't. Why would you fill out this card? It's worded a little different. It says, which group describes your annual family income? How much money do you make? That's pretty direct. But if they say, which group? Oh, I can belong to a group, and they won't know anything about me. Hell, you got your name and address and your phone number and your email at the top of the card, remember? This is an interrogation, is what this is. This is a master-servant relationship in which the LG Electronics Company assumes the role of the master. They sold me this device, and now they're asking me, their servant, to fill out this information over here. And they pose as, well, this is just innocuous information. You're just a member of a group. Just tell us, you know, how much, which group would best describe your income level? Did you want somebody to know that you make between $95,000 and $100,000 a year? Do you make between $45,000 and $50,000 a year? I mean, that's what they're asking here. How much money do you make? That's pretty damn personal, I'd say. Please check all that apply to your household. And then I get about, I don't know, 10 or 12 items down here. It says you own a CD-ROM drive. Do you shop at shop by catalog or mail? Do you shop by way of internet? Are you a member of a frequent flyer program? Do you donate to charitable causes? Do you own a compact disc player? Do you have a dog? Do you have a cat? Do you own a wireless cellular phone? Now, what they're looking for here is information so that they can put a mailing list together so they can sell the mailing list. And they want to sell that mailing list with this kind of information. Do you want to give this information to strangers? And this is the kind of thing you're bombarded with, you know, from the time you're 6 years old when you go into public school. And you're taught and trained, you know, as a child that, you know, if you don't have anything to hide, you know, what, you know, if you're not doing anything wrong, well, then why do you... Why wouldn't you want to share this information with others? Well, the reason is because I want to have some privacy. Why don't you want to share this with us? Because I don't want you to know. It's none of your damn business. Can you understand that? Most people look at me, blink their eyes, and go, well, I never... All right, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law. We teach tax law. We teach courtroom strategy and procedure. We teach business law, we teach agricultural law, we teach civil rights law, and we teach biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. GeorgeGordon.org, GeorgeGordon.org. Now, the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through our website as well. Remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet daily, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. These Law Hour programs are brought to you in the form of timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Now, to order yours, just call the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right. I guess I should remind you that the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Okay, we're talking about privacy. Let me give you another example here. Here's an advertisement from the American Express card. I think I mentioned this to you last time, that I don't have an American Express card. I don't have any credit cards. There's a couple of legal reasons that I would object to having a credit card, but there's some personal reasons here. I mean, there's personal information reasons. Not only is a credit card a bad business transaction, it's a bad vehicle for business. I shouldn't say it totally bad. There's a guy by the name of Steven Spielberg. He's a Hollywood mogul. He's a director or something. He makes movies. And there was a story about him that I thought was quite interesting. I'll share it with you. He's got about 50 credit cards. They showed a picture of him with all of his credit cards. And this guy's got... he's got credit cards on credit cards on credit cards, and he's got all these credit cards over here, and he said, the credit card companies hate me. Now, you'd think that a guy with 50 credit cards, the credit card companies would love him, but they hate him. And they call him a deadbeat. I mean, I don't know how much money this guy's got, but, you know, he's a Hollywood guy, and he's a director in one thing and another. I'll bet you he's got $1 million. I'll just bet you the guy's got at least $1 million. Dollars. 50 credit cards, and they call him a deadbeat. And they call him a deadbeat because he pays his credit card balance every month. Never pays him any interest. So he gets the benefits of the credit card, but he doesn't have the downside. He's not paying him any interest, so they don't make any money off of it. Well, the truth of the matter is, when you use a credit card, the credit card company makes money off of you with each and every purchase. And here's where it comes from. The merchant that accepts your credit card has to pay a 5 or 6% fee on the purchase price. So let's go in here and buy a $100 item. We're going to buy a little electronic toy here at Walmart, and we're going to pay for it with a credit card. Walmart prices the product at $100 rather than $94 because they know that they have to pay $6 when you pay for this with a credit card. So they just add it right into the price of the product. So anybody that uses a credit card is paying that 6%. All right, that's number one. Now you're going to sit there and say, well, it doesn't make any difference because everybody has to pay it. I don't. Do you hear me? I don't. When I walk into a store and I want to buy something, and I see that they accept credit cards, I say to the owner of the store, to the clerk, I say, now, will you take my American Express card? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, we'll take your credit card. Okay. Will you give me a 6% discount if I pay you in $100 bills and I don't need a receipt? And if the guy says, oh, no, sir, you have to pay us the $100. I say, okay, well, sell it to somebody else. And I walk out. How's that? Now, I do business with a lot of people, and one of the first things that I want is my discounts. I take my discounts. It's just a business deal, you know. And in business, you know, the guy that moves a dollar from the top down here to the bottom line, every dollar you save goes right straight to your bottom line. Not only do I want privacy in the transaction, which I can't have with a credit card, because if I buy this item with a credit card, it's right out there in the public. Hell, the IRS and the CIA and the FBI and anybody else can get the information, find out, well, my God, George Gordon went into that store, paid $100 and walked out with an iPod. Do I want you to know whether or not I own an iPod? I don't think they're $100. I think they're $250 is the last time I saw one. But the moral of the story is that, you know, if I walk into an electronics store and bypass the clerk and just walk up and say to the clerk, hey, where's the owner of the store? And you just ask the guy, say, well, if I buy this thingy over here, will you take my MasterCard? Oh, yes, sir, we'll take your MasterCard. Good. If I pay you with $100 bills, would you take those? Oh, yes, sir, we'll take those. Will you give me a 6% discount for my $100 bills because I'm not going to use a credit card because I'm going to save you $6 per $100, 6%? Now, any businessman that's got any brains would say, well, yes, sir, I will. Okay. Now, can you see that I'm an old man? And don't you think I should have a senior citizen's discount? Oh, most times they'll say to me, oh, yes, sir, I can see that you're an old man and that you probably should have a 10% senior citizen's discount. Thank you very much. All right. And then I say, no, the sales tax here is about 7%, and I don't need a receipt. So if I pay you with $100 bills and I don't need a receipt, would you pay the sales tax for me? And almost invariably, the owner of the store will say, yes, yes, if you don't need a receipt, and if you pay me with $100 bills, I don't think I'll need that sales tax. Sometimes then I'll say, now, I'm looking here at your display, and I see that you've got six here. Is this all you have in stock? And sometimes the guy will say, yes, that's all we've got. And I say, if I take all of those, would you give me a 10% discount for buying in quantity? And like as not, the merchant will say, well, yes, yes, I would give you a 10% quantity discount. Now, let's add this up. You got a 10% quantity discount. You got a 7-cent sales tax discount. You got a 10% discount on the being an old man. And then you got a 6% discount because you're paying cash and you're not using a credit card. And let's add that up and see what we got here. And that's 10%. And that's 10%. And that's 6%, and that's 7%. Now let's see, that 7, 6 is 13. That's 1, 2, and carry the one, that's 3. That's 33%. Now that's a 1/3 discount, isn't it? So we went in the store to buy this $100 item, and we walk out of the store with the same item for $67. And now I've got $33 to take you over to Hemingway's for lunch. See how you do business? And now notice how private this transaction is. You know, I walked into the guy's store. Does he know my name? Does he know my address? Does he know my social security number? Does he know how much money I have in the bank? Does he know where I bank? Does he know anything about me? He doesn't know any more about me than the Denny's waitress. Now, do you remember the Denny's waitress trick? Now, when we're talking about privacy, when you walk into Denny's restaurant and you sit down for lunch, does the lady at Denny's, the waitress, when she comes over, does she ask you for your name, your address, your email address, your date of birth, marital status, telephone number, the date of purchase? Does she ask you which group describes your annual family income, or ask you about your level of education? Does the Denny's waitress ask you which credit cards do you use regularly? Does the Denny's waitress ask you your primary residence? Does she ask you if you rent or own? Does she ask you how recently did you move into your current residence? Does she ask you to check all that apply to your household? Like, how do you shop? Do you shop by internet, catalog, frequent flyer purchases, or donate to charitable causes and so on? Okay. Anytime somebody asks you more than a Denny's waitress, you're giving up some privacy. Now, let me carry this a step further. There are some pieces of information that some people need that other people don't need. So, when I'm doing business with somebody, it could be a doctor, a dentist, it could be a Denny's waitress, it could be the owner of the iPod store or whatever. You know, I buy from Kinko's. I go into the Kinko's store. And I buy at Walmart, and I buy at big corporation stores. And I buy from little guys, too. You know, I buy from independent, ordinary guys, you know, like Terry's Feed Store over here in Theodosia. Then I buy from the Ace Hardware guy, and, you know. And I'm on a first-name basis, you know, with the small business owners around. And I try to do business with the small business owners because those are the guys that can give you the best deals. They'll give you a better deal than Walmart will. Walmart won't give you a 33% discount. Their discounts are already built into their prices. That's what drew you into the store to start with. And it's very hard to deal with Walmart. But if you got a pretty significant item, tell them you want to talk to the manager, or you want to talk to the supervisor here in this area. For instance, my wife goes into Walmart quite often, and she goes into the floral area. What's that? What do they call that over there where they're selling plants? And she'll look at these plants over there, and she'll say, "Well, what kind of a deal will you make on me if I take all of these posies or all of these roses?" And oftentimes, you go, "Well, we'll give them to you for half price." Or I'll go into the produce section over at Town and Country Market. And you can't make these kind of deals, you know, with the checkout girl. I mean, you got to talk to the produce manager. Or maybe down at Harp's, you know, or over at Albertson's or something. You know, walk in. I buy bananas every once in a while. Here's the way to buy bananas. I go up to the produce manager and I say, "Well, over here, you've got bananas, and they're nice yellow bananas, and they're 49 cents a pound. Do you have any bananas in the back that are black and rotten and real nasty looking over there that you discount?" And he says, "Oh, yeah, we got boxes of bananas here in the back, and we'll sell those to you for 10 cents a pound." And I say to the guy, "Well, that's pretty good." And I say, "There's about 35 pounds of bananas, so you'll sell me a box of bananas for about $3.50. Now, at 49 cents a pound, you know, that's about 7 pounds of bananas. So while you people are out there in the front paying 49 cents a pound, I'm in the back buying bananas for 10 cents a pound." Then I say, "Well, let me ask you this. These bananas that are back here that you took off the shelf out in the front and you put in these boxes, you're going to throw these out there in the Dempsey dumpster. So you're going to get nothing for them anyway. Tell you what I'll do. How many boxes of these bananas do you have?" And the guy says, "Well, I got 6. "All right. And you want $3.50 a box. What if I take all 6 boxes for $1.75 each?" And the guy says, "If you take all 6 boxes, I'll give them to you for $1.75. So mark it down. So he marks $1.75 on these 6 boxes of bananas. And he puts them on a cart, and he wheels them out there to the checkout counter for me. And then the checkout lady, she looks at these boxes of bananas, and she checks them out at $1.75, and there's some nice young kid there. And he takes them out to my pickup, and he loads them in there for me. I don't even have to touch them. Well, until I get home. Now, I've got 6 boxes of bananas at 35 pounds each. Now, somebody's asking me, "Well, now, Mr. Gordon, what do you want with 6 boxes of rotten bananas?" Well, first of all, these bananas aren't rotten. They're ripe. The bananas that you buy, they're yellow, aren't ripe. They're green. And you eat these green bananas, and they're pretty tasteless. When they make banana chips, they make them out of green, tasteless bananas, and then they put sugar on them to sweeten them up because they taste so bad. And because they don't have any enzymes in them, they're dry, and they're about like potato chips. Now, if you want banana chips that are sweet, succulent, with no sugar on them, you take ripe bananas to start with, which means they got to have black speckles on the skins. So I take those home and I I cut them up and I put them in my dryer and I dry them, and then I put these banana chips in my quart jars, and 15 bananas fit into a quart jar dried. And then I put them on my shelf. So I buy bananas for 10 cents a pound or 5 cents a pound while you people are paying 49 cents a pound and buying them on your credit card so that everybody knows that you're buying bananas and I buy them from the produce guy and he doesn't know what my name is. And furthermore, he doesn't care. All right, now that's what privacy is all about. You know, if you'll use money instead of credit, you can actually make some pretty good deals and at the same time maintain your privacy at the same time. Now, I got this advertisement from the American Express Company. And the American Express Company, they want information too. And so they say, here, fill out this card. But they actually give you information on here, and they tell you some things on here on this this application. And I mentioned this to you, I think, last time or time before, that anybody that could read these terms and conditions would have to be brain dead to sign them. But the fine print here is such that I've got to take a little pause and take off my headphones and put on my 10-power loop in order to read this contract to you. So be patient and stand by. All right, we're back, and now I have my 10-power loop on so that I can read the contract. You need a 10-power loop, and you can get one of these that fits right on your head with a band, and then you can just raise it up and down like a visor. You can be a real professional contract reader by going to your local coin store and buying one of these 10-power loops. They want a thing, they got a little box here that says annual fees. It says the annual fee of $95 for your basic card is waived for the first year of your membership, and the annual fee of $40 per additional card is waived for up to 9 additional cards added during the first year of your membership. All right, so this is a promotion. This is called bait and switch. Bait and switch. So they put this teaser out and they say, hey, listen, sign up for our credit card because we want to add new members because we want to make more money and we want to make money off of you. We won't charge you $95 the first year, $40 for an additional card this year, but next year we will. So next year it's going to cost me $95 and $40 for each additional card. So next year I got to pay $95. So suppose this year I say, well, good, I'll take a card and I'll take one for my wife and I'll take one for my daughter and I'll take one for my son. So that means I need 3 additional cards. Next year I'm going to get a bill for $95 plus 40, 40, and 40. That's 160. So next year it's going to cost me $255. Okay, so be prepared for that. That's called bait and switch. I don't want to do that. You know, if I come in here and if I take your credit card and I buy, every time I use that credit card, you're making 6%. And every time I don't make my payments, you're charging me 15% interest. Isn't that enough? Not with American Express. American Express says we also want $255 a year. And I'm sitting here saying, you know, I don't think I want to pay you to spend money with you. Let's try it this way. What if you went into Walmart? And you know that nice guy that's sitting up there, the greeter, he comes to give you the cart. What if the guy said to you, if you want to shop in our store, you have to pay us $5? Because that's what American Express is saying. They're saying, if you want to use our card, you got to pay us. If I had to pay Walmart $5 every time I walked in their store, I'd tell them to go to hell. And that's what I'm telling to American Express. If I got to pay you to use your card, if I got to pay you to charge me interest, you can go to hell. Right, that's number one. Then I got a late payment fee. It says it varies from state to state, from zero to the greater of $30 or 2.99% of the delinquent balance. The delinquent balance. Okay, so that's about 3%. Let's suppose that you got a $10,000 card and you got to pay the minimum 2%. So we take $10,000, you got strung out here, you know, times 0.02, and that's $200 payment. Now you're late with your $200 payment. I mean, I owe you the $200 payment, I don't deny that. But I'm late with it. Now I got to go times 0.03, that means that's $6. So I owe this payment, and the payment is due, let's say, you know, on the 5th. But I don't make the payment until the 6th. I mailed it in on the 4th, but you didn't get it till the 6th, and so you call back and you say, hey, listen, you were late with last month's payment, so we're gonna nick you an extra $6 because you're late. You want to do that? I know it's only $6, but when you got a million cards out there and 100,000 of those guys are late, you know, that's $600,000, isn't it? That's $600,000 a month. So they're nicking you on the price of the card, then they're nicking you $6 here, and then they're nicking you $6 there. And you start adding up all these costs over here. $6 here and $6 there and $200 there and 15% interest there and 6% to buy there, and pretty soon, you know, it runs the price of the product up. That's why I want my 33% discount. That's why I take my discounts. You people are paying 33% more every time you go in to use your credit card. Anytime you go into a store and use a credit card, you're paying one third more than we would pay as a group, as a class, if we all used cash. Now, if you want to pay one third more, get after it. Don't let me get in the way. But not only do you pay a third more, you have to give up your privacy to do it. Boys and girls, you have to pay money to give up your privacy. Hell, I can be more private than you can by just paying cash. I can be more private by just not using the credit cards. The issue doesn't come up. Now, when you go to Denny's and you use a credit card to pay for lunch, you know, you're telling everybody in the world, including the FBI and the CIA and Interpol and everybody else, that you had lunch at Denny's, date, time, and place. I'm not really sure I want to do that. I just didn't pay cash and walk out anonymous. But it gets better than that. Represent that the cards will be used for commercial or business purposes. So coming right out of the chute, I have to be in commerce. I have to admit that I'm a commercial man involved in trade, commerce, business, and industry under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, and that I'm dealing in commerce so that I can be regulated and controlled. The Commerce Clause, of and by itself, denies me privacy. And these guys at American Express say, hey, this is a slave card, and you have to join with all the rest of us slaves over here to participate in these benefits. And I got to ask, benefits? Benefits? I got to pay one third more, give up my privacy, and then admit that I'm a commercial man? Can you call these benefits? Come on, give me a break, would you? Well, I'm out of time already, so I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here that you are listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. 4967. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.